have questions. Do you need answers? The Pastor Study will help you find those answers through God's Word. Our teacher today is Pastor Tom Brock. The Pastor Study is sponsored by PastorStudy.org. So grab your Bible and join us for The Pastor Study.
Well, welcome to the Pastor's Study. I'm Pastor Tom Brock, and we kind of have a different show today. This is Tom Pritchard of the Minnesota Family Council. Welcome, Tom.
Good to be with you.
And today we're going to talk about the whole homosexual marriage issue. Now, our program originates in Minneapolis, where this has become the big issue for this coming year. But now we have viewers. We've expanded our TV show to Iowa, North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and also Illinois. So, Tom, this issue, though, isn't just Minnesota-specific. For instance, tell us what our friends in Iowa have had to endure.
Well, a couple of years ago, the Iowa Supreme Court ruled that their marriage law was unconstitutional because it limited it to a man and a woman, and basically threw that out and imposed same-sex marriage on that state.
On the whole state.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, then the voters came back in 2010, and when those three of the judges were up, or justices were up for re-election, they were thrown out. So
how would they undo homosexual marriage in Iowa?
Well, they're either going to have to pass a constitutional amendment, which is a very extensive process, or they're going to have to get another case up to the Iowa Supreme Court when they have a court which will be more friendly.
Now, your group, the Minnesota Family Council, is fighting to get a constitutional amendment to protect from happening. I mean, what the liberals say on this is, well, marriage is not legal anyway for homosexuals in Minnesota, so why even bother with this? Why bother with it?
Well, we just talked about it in Iowa, and not only in Iowa, but many other states where the courts have overturned their marriage laws, in a sense having a few judges, like for instance Massachusetts, four judges imposed on that state same-sex marriage redefinition. So we want to make sure that the voters, the people of Minnesota, have a say in this. And our polls show that people really want to have a say in this.
And if you're not from Minnesota, the good news is, finally, because we now have a Republican state Senate, finally we got it passed that the voters will be able to vote in Minnesota on this amendment when?
Yeah, it'll go on the ballot in November of 2012, so it's about a year and a half down the road.
And there's going to be a lot of money spent on both sides on this issue.
It'll be a very debated issue, and we're looking forward to it. We think it's important that people in Minnesota talk, have a conversation about this issue, and really talk about the importance of marriage.
Well, let me tell you why we're doing this program. Last night, I turned on Channel 2 here in the Twin Cities, public television paid for by our tax dollars. They had yet another homosexual show promoting homosexual marriage. They've never had a show on public television in the Twin Cities, giving the conservative viewpoint. It's always tilted toward the left. And with Oprah always promoting homosexuality, Ellen and her talk show always promoting homosexuality, and the sitcoms on ABC, CBS, etc., we wanted to do a program giving you the ability to know how to respond to some of this propaganda we get all the time. So, Tom, I'm literally going to play the devil's advocate now. And I'm going to just ask you some questions. Question number one, who does it hurt? It doesn't hurt heterosexual marriage if you let two homosexuals get married. So who does it really hurt to let two homosexuals get married?
Yeah, they oftentimes will say, how does it hurt your marriage? And I will say, well, I've never said it does hurt my marriage. But what it does is it redefines the institution of marriage, which is the foundation, the bedrock of society. And that has implications far beyond just that definition or allowing a gay couple to get married. It redefines it for everybody. And we see in other states where it's had impact on what's taught in the schools, the religious freedoms of individuals, business owners. For instance, in New Mexico, a photographer was approached by a lesbian couple to photograph their union ceremony. She says, I really can't out of conscience, and says, I'll refer you to some other photographers. Well, she was sued. Mm-hmm. Well, that would only increase in a situation where the law of the land is now recognized as same-sex marriage. So it has far-reaching repercussions.
Sure does. In Boston, the Archdiocese of the Catholic Church had to close down their adoption and foster parent services because they were being forced by the state to put children, orphans, into gay lesbian couples' homes. So now they're closed.
Yeah.
All right, let's ask this question, being the devil's advocate. But who are you to take these people's rights away? Doesn't a man have a right to marry a man?
Well, marriage has always been, and I think this is important to understand what the nature and purpose of marriage is. Marriage has always been between a man and woman throughout history. And the reason that is it's rooted in who we are as human beings, that to have children, you have to have a mother and a father. You can't have a child without a mother and a father. And the state sees that as so important to the well-being of society. The next generation, it's the bearing and the raising of children are done. The best environment is with a mother and a father, and the state has an interest in protecting that. Now, when you redefine that, it throws out the notion you need a mother or father. If marriage is defined as any two individuals, same sex, opposite sex, then the state will now be promoting something different than that notion. In fact, it will be opposed to the notion that children need a mother and a father. Mm-hmm. And in fact, will come against those who will attempt to promote that notion.
And
that's going to have wide-ranging repercussions
on children.
And that's the reason the state has an interest in promoting marriage. And the reason we want to put this in to the people is that we can protect it from activist judges. The only way you can protect against the judges, let's say in Iowa, is to get a constitutional amendment in your state constitution.
All right. Devil's advocate again. But Tom, recent studies show that children are just as healthy raised by two men as a man and a woman.
Well, you have to look at these studies that they're very recent. They're not random studies. They're not scientifically based because you have so few couples. But the evidence suggests that, frankly, within these homosexual households, children are more likely to identify with homosexuality and lesbianism.
Jodie Foster.
Because, you know, that's the role modeling. It makes sense. I mean, pro-gay organizations recognize that the nature of homosexuality is complex. It has environmental factors. And when you have a gay couple. So, I mean, those are factors
consider. Well, so what's wrong with it? Maybe two men raising a little boy, maybe he's more prone to become homosexual himself. What's wrong with being a homosexual?
Well, I guess I would back up and put the emphasis on what's in the best interest of children in terms of having a mother and a father. And I think gay and lesbian households, by definition, eliminate a mother or a father. And I think the research is very clear that children need a mother and a father, and that's the reason the state has an interest in promoting that.
Especially if you believe in a creator, which most people do, God created us, male and female, to have children. And two males can't have a child, and so it doesn't make sense to call that a marriage and try to raise children in that atmosphere. Tom, what about this? Who are you to put your religion into our Constitution? You need to keep your religion out of our state Constitution. How do you respond to that?
Well, people oftentimes argue that and say marriage is a religious institution, therefore we shouldn't even have it in our laws. But marriage is both a religious and a civil institution. It's recognized by all cultures, all societies throughout history. And you don't have to be a religious person to recognize marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are many agnostic and atheist people who get married. Mm-hmm. And if they viewed that as just a religious institution, I'm sure they wouldn't go out and get married.
And I think of communist Russia, which was atheist, Red China, which is atheist, they didn't have gay marriage. So there are other reasons other than religious reasons for protecting marriage.
Yeah, I think I want to point out, though, that this issue is not so much about homosexuality. It's about marriage, the institution of marriage, what's in the best interest of children, and protecting that institution so that children have the best opportunity to grow up and flourish, mm-hmm. and that's by having a mother and father. So I guess I would emphasize the importance of marriage and protecting that institution because it's in the best interest of society and children.
And long-ranging studies have shown that children always do best with a mother and a father in the home,
right,
as opposed to two men or opposed to a single dad or a single mom. Children tend to do better in school and everything. Am I not right on that?
Well, it's just, I think it's just the nature of who we are that, and you know, there are probably a lot of single parents listening, and this isn't to put down single parents. Mm-hmm. In fact, single parents realize better than anybody how difficult it is to raise a child by yourself. So, but so I think, and the purpose of the law is to promote what's going to promote the common good, the ideal, the standard we all want to hold up, and that's children being raised by their biological parents.
Another argument from the more liberal point of view, well, you know, we used to ban interracial marriage and not let a white person marry a black person, and we got over that bigotry. Why can't we get over the bigotry of letting a man marry a man? What's your response to that?
Yeah, people often argue, well, marriage is evolving. But I think if you look more closely, that analogy really breaks down, because in fact, the ban on interracial marriage and the effort to redefine marriage through recognizing same-sex unions as marriage are both anti-marriage. And the reason is the ban on interracial marriage artificially kept apart certain men and women based on the color of their skin, which is a neutral, morally neutral, immutable trait. So that artificially kept apart individuals, men and women, from marriage. So that was anti-marriage. Well, same-sex marriage redefines the institution by eliminating the idea that a man and woman is integral to the understanding of marriage. Mm-hmm. So they were both anti-marriage. But I think this is important for people to realize where this goes ultimately, because if same-sex marriage is legalized, recognized, those who support traditional marriage will be viewed as the new bigots and racist, mm-hmm. and they will be treated that way and by society. And in fact, the state
will... It's already started.
In fact, the state will... Yeah, it's already started, but now they'll have the force and the power of the law behind them pushing that on people. And so I think people need to realize the repercussions of redefining marriage. And it's not a kind of a live and let live thing, you know, where if a gay couple wants to get married, they can get married. No, this changes the whole institution, and the state will now have a vested interest in promoting and this new understanding of marriage, and in a sense fighting against anything which would challenge that.
In Maine, recently, they passed a transgendered law in Maine that men who dress as women and women who dress as men can use whatever bathroom they want. Some in the legislature there are trying to undo that because people wanting to protect their bathrooms and not letting a little girl be in a restroom with a man are seeing that people should let the biological sex, not the person's perceived sex, but the biological sex determine that, to protect children, and without a lawsuit from the government. So even as this stuff unrolls, it just gets stranger and stranger.
Well, I think by definition, if you redefine marriage to eliminate the need for a man and a woman, it becomes, you're basically promoting a genderless society. Mm-hmm. The notion that there is no difference between men and women, and that's not true. I mean, obviously, that doesn't mean you can't promote equal rights in terms of access to jobs and other things. But to try to obliterate the notion that there is a difference, and that in fact children need both a mother and a father because they both bring unique things into the life of the child, is really important. And that's one of the consequences. If you redefine marriage, you're going to basically have the state imposing that new vision on society.
All right, another devil's advocate question. But isn't marriage all about love? It doesn't matter if you're male or female, just as long as you love each other. What would you say to that?
Well, I think, again, that's kind of a subtle way, maybe not so subtle way, of trying to redefine what marriage is. Mm-hmm. Marriage certainly involves a loving, committed relationship, but it also, integral to that definition, is a man and a woman. And when you eliminate that notion and just say it's a loving, committed relationship, you've really redefined it radically. And the implications of that go far beyond just allowing two individuals of the same sex to marry. Well, what about polygamous relationships,
yes,
where you may have a loving, committed relationship between multiple individuals, or let's say a parent and their adult child, mm-hmm. or two siblings? Those can also be defined as loving, committed relationships.
So are they marriage? They're not.
Right. Those aren't marriage. I think for people need to realize that the issue here is protecting the integrity of the institution of marriage. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, they bring in other issues like hospital visitation and things.
All right, there's another one. How can you deny someone letting their gay lover be at their bedside while they're dying? How can you deny that?
Well, clearly I think they should have the right to visit. Anybody should be able to decide who can visit them, whether in a hospital or make medical decisions for them. But you don't have to redefine marriage to do that. You can address those issues. In fact, you can do it now under law, that you can designate a person to visit you in the hospital, mm-hmm. or you can have designate somebody to make your medical decisions. And that's true for a wide range of people, whether or not you're gay or lesbian. It can be any two individuals. So you don't have to redefine marriage to ensure that people can visit them when they're in the hospital.
Tom, let's one more devil's advocate question, then we'll get elsewhere. Why do you hate homosexuals? Aren't you filled with hate with your viewpoint?
That's oftentimes people say that, but this isn't an issue of hate.
No,
this
is
an
issue
of what can we do to promote the best interests of children and the well-being of society.
And I'll add for the homosexual as well. I mean, you kind of have to work in the secular realm, but I'm in the religious realm, and I can say this. The Bible teaches homosexual behavior is a sin. It hurts your relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 6 says homosexuals and fornicators, idolaters, won't go to heaven. So it's a huge deal that people repent from this behavior. And not only for eternity, but even in this life, the diseases, the shortening of life by the homosexual behavior. So I think there are good loving reasons to urge people lovingly to turn away from that lifestyle, that behavior that doesn't help them spiritually or physically.
But again, that's a different issue than what's at stake
right.
here with the marriage amendment.
That's me talking here.
Yeah. I mean, the marriage amendment is designed to give people the right to vote on the definition of marriage. Do we want to protect it in our state constitution? And we would argue that we do, because this is such a fundamental institution. Mm-hmm. It's key to the well-being of society. And it shouldn't be decided by a handful of judges or even a handful of legislators.
Yeah.
That this is really fundamental to the well-being of our society,
and the good news,
and it should be protected.
The good news that every state that has been able to vote on it has kept marriage.
Yeah, 30 states have passed constitutional. 30 out of 30 states have
really?
Passed constitutional amendments. So
wow.
Minnesota would be the 31st state.
Okay, all right. What do you think is going to happen in Minnesota? Do you think we'll be?
I think it will pass.
Okay.
I think obviously it's going to be a. Be a lot of work, and I think it's good for the state in a sense. Now, some people argued, well, this isn't good. It's going to cause a lot of emotion and tension. But, you know, this is a pretty key thing for the future of our state, the well-being of our state. And so I think it's important for the whole state to be involved in the discussion. Now, I think we have to put aside the name-calling and the personal attacks
mm-hmm.
and just look at the issue and why this is important. But I think it will pass. I think the people of Minnesota, when they hear the arguments from both sides, will come to the conclusion that, yes, we do want to protect the institution of marriage, that it is uniquely a man and a woman, and we think it should be protected in our Constitution and shouldn't be radically redefined. This is a radical departure from history of Western civilization.
Indeed it is. And I know you've been attacked. I've been attacked because I take a stand against this. Why do you think this issue makes people so angry? What's behind all that?
Oh, I don't know. I think people feel like you're denying them a recognition in society that they deserve. But again, I would argue, hey, marriage has always been a man and a woman.
Yeah, you can call an orange an apple, but it's still a...
Yeah, exactly. You know. I mean, people say this is not a creation of the state. The state didn't, or the government did not create marriage, the institution of marriage. It existed, it's pre-political, it's pre-government. It existed even before governments were formed. Before you had a government, you had a man and a woman that created a child.
Indeed.
And so, you know, this is not something we can redefine. Basically, the state is recognizing what already exists and protecting it.
Yes.
And that's for the well-being of society, all of society, not just, couples getting married, but children. And I would argue gay and lesbians as well, because a healthy society, is good for all people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What can somebody, let's say somebody is not in Minnesota, or they're in Iowa, or they're in North or South, what can somebody do to try to protect marriage in their state?
Well, I think they need to realize that, you brought up what's happening in the media. There's been attacks on the media. I mean, you look at the media entertainment, and what sort of families do we see? They're dysfunctional.
That's horrible.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
And we need to...
Often the only sane character on the show is the homosexual character. I mean, it's so slanted in the sitcoms, but go ahead.
But I think we have to restore a culture of marriage. And I think we have to start in our own lives, with our own marriages if we're married. We have to start in our churches and our communities. And we have to start restoring a culture of marriage and realize the integrity of marriage, the commitment between a man and a woman for a lifetime is really vital to their health and well-being, but also future generations. So we have to begin to restore it. Now,
mm-hmm.
in your state, you know, in Iowa, for instance, it is a political issue. It is a legal issue, and people need to be involved with where their candidates stand on the mm-hmm. issues. So that's something. But even beyond that, in other states which already have marriage amendments, that's not the ultimate answer. The ultimate answer is working within your communities to help restore a culture of marriage.
And, you know, I want to say to people that are watching this that maybe struggle with homosexuality themselves, you don't have to give into it. And I would encourage you, if you've got the homosexual struggle, you get tempted that way even strongly, Google Exodus International. Many people have come out of this lifestyle. Some get into marriage and have children. Some just stay single, and some still get tempted, some don't. But it's a lifestyle God doesn't want us to get into. It's unhealthy, and there is a way out. People happily leave the homosexual lifestyle. You'll never hear Oprah talk about that. You'll never have Ellen DeGeneres have somebody on her show who's left this lifestyle and is so much healthier and happier because the devil runs the media these days. But Exodus International, if you struggle with this, and there's all kinds of support groups all over America where if you struggle with same-sex attraction, you can join one of those. So, Tom, tell us, if people want to get more information about this from you and your Minnesota Family Council, how do they do that?
Well, there's lots of information on the internet. Our webpage is mfc.org, and also there'll be a group we'll be starting in Minnesota, Minnesota for Marriage, which will be addressing the issue, and they'll have resources available. But also there's lots of resources from national organizations.
Is there a statewide group in Iowa that's fighting this?
Yeah, there is, but I don't know the name of the organization.
All right, in the others, like California, they voted on this. It was a big hubbub, and the pro-traditional marriage forces won. Was it close?
They won by about 52.5. It was about 5 percentage points, which was very interesting in California. It was the year Barack Obama kind of won in a landslide in California, but still they passed a marriage amendment. So, for those who say, well, I don't know, liberal Minnesota can pass a marriage amendment, I don't agree. I think can and will.
And on this, I think the black churches supported traditional marriage because they tend to, you know, vote Democrat, but on this, they voted for traditional marriage.
Yeah, I mean, the black community helped pass the marriage amendment in California. 70% of the black community voted in favor of traditional marriage.
Yeah.
So, you know, this cuts across all racial, ethnic, religious lines, Muslim, Jew, Christian, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. You know, cuts across the community. The people do support traditional marriage and realize the importance of it.
Now, you're asked to speak at various churches and functions and such. Where it gets confusing is when the church becomes the world. And the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church USA, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the ELCA Lutheran Church have all caved, from my point of view, and they've affirmed loving, committed homosexual behavior. Some of them have gone as far as to say we need to have homosexual marriage. When you are doing your lobbying work down at the state capitol, who are your friends and who are your enemies on this issue, can I ask?
Well, I just mentioned, it cuts across racial, ethnic lines. You know, frankly, a lot of those mainline Protestant groups don't have a lot of influence.
I mean, they're shrinking.
They're shrinking, and they've basically compromised their moral voice by going off, on something which is clearly violates the tenets, the historical understandings of the Christian faith.
Indeed.
So they aren't. I don't think they carry a lot of political weight in the culture, but obviously they do influence people in the culture, which is harmful. But I think on the other hand, you see, as you've pointed out, a lot of people start leaving because they've basically compromised the fundamentals of their faith.
And can I ask you, this might be interesting for our listeners. I mean, Tom, you'll go to Carleton College, which is very liberal, and you'll debate down there on this issue. And what does that look like? Are people angry? Are they polite? How does that, I mean, tell me about
that. I think most of the time people are very reasonable, and they may disagree. Occasionally you might get somebody, but I think most people want to engage in a civil discussion.
Good.
I mean, there are some people who don't want to reason. They just want to, call you names and attack you personally. But, I think our goal for this debate not debate, but really a conversation in Minnesota is to really get out the issues. What is marriage? Mm-hmm. What is the nature of marriage? Mm-hmm. Why is it important? Why is it even in state law? You know, and let's discuss those things. And I think once we do, we'll realize marriage is foundational to the well-being of society. The state has an interest in protecting marriage between a man and a woman. And yeah. I think as a result, people will support voting to place it in our state constitution.
Well, can we put on the screen the Minnesota Family Council, the mfc.org, if you want to get more information. Their phone number in Minneapolis, 612-789-8858, is that right?
That's our fax number, 8811.
8811, so you forget the 8858. 612-789-8811, mfc.org. And you know, Tom, I will tell you this. I have, because I've taken a stand also against homosexual marriage, I get a fair amount of, Tom, you're so filled with hate. You know, and you know, what do you say back to that?
Well, I think our response should not be anger or bitterness.
And backwards.
Backwards. Yeah, yeah. You know, I think those who disagree with us, we respond respectfully. And I think sometimes that results from frustration. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes when one doesn't have a good argument, you engage in name-calling yeah. and you start harassing and you just blow back with name-calling. And that really doesn't serve any good. I think our response just needs to be, hey, let's...
Loving, humble, but we still stand for the truth
yeah.
and we don't let people's emotions sway us.
No, we need to do what's right because we need to go beyond this to understand that what's involved. This isn't discrimination. Mm-hmm. This is protecting the institution of marriage, protecting it from being radically redefined, which will have negative consequences on society and the well-being of children.
Thanks, Tom, so much for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
And everybody, pray for our nation. Boy, do we need help. I also speak on this issue, I can come and speak at your church anywhere in like the 5-state area. So if you need a speaker on Sunday morning or at a church event, you can call me. If you need Tom Pritchard, you can call the Minnesota Family Council. Our phone number will be at the end. God bless you, everybody. Pray for America. We'll see you next time on the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for tuning into the Pastor's Study. We ask, would you pray for our ministry as we seek to spread the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ? And would you pray about supporting this ministry? Our address is The Pastor's Study, 5200 Emerson Avenue North, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55430. Our website is pastorstudy.org. And our phone number is 763-260-4484. May God richly bless you and join us next week at the same time as we study God's Word. Until then, may the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you.